Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, hype this week, but I'm not.
Well, I guess it's the second half of the Tom Abraham Show, but I guess technically, I mean, we didn't get in here until 2:45, and then we're getting out of here at 5:10, 5:12, something like that for Big East basketball. And if you're wondering, you know, hey, Doug, what's up with the Big East basketball tournament? It's part of our commitment when you are a March Madness affiliate, as we are, and we carry every single game of March Madness. We carry the first four, which it appears that Alabama will not be in now. But we carry the first four, we carry the final four, and we carry every single game in between. Well, as part of that deal, you're also compelled to carry the women's final four, so you'll hear that. And you're also compelled to carry some of the other tournament games and so on. So that's why we have Big East action for you tonight. And, you know, with Xavier and Villanova both as projected one seeds in the big tournament, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing to be carrying either if you're a basketball fan, and it is that time of year. It's also hockey time as well. 15 games to go for the Predators in the regular season, and they just keep on rolling, man. They are right at the top of the Western Conference. They're a point behind Tampa Bay for the best record in all of hockey, and have won 10 in a row. I mean, what more can you say? We'll say it, though, with Jim Diamond from the Ringside Report and from the AP, where he covers the Preds as well. Jim, welcome back, man. How are you?
I am outstanding. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic. I was just telling my producer in a break, I remember when I was based out of Nashville, I remember that we would squeeze, you know, for 92, 93, 94 points. We try to figure out how do you get to 94 points, because that's about what would get you into the playoffs. 15 games to go. The Preds are closing in on a hundy. I mean, this is just nuts. I mean, these numbers are incredible. Last team in last year, and it looks like they're going to be the one seed in the West the way it's going right now. Now, there's no guarantee that gets you to the, you know, that gets you to the Stanley Cup either. But boy, it really has been impressive watching them of late.
Yeah, it didn't work out well for Chicago last year, but the Predators are looking strong. 10-game winning streak. So you talked about the points. It's you know, you win 10, you get in a row, you get 20 points. That boosts you up over just about everybody. I think. You know, poor Winnipeg's been 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're losing ground. So, it's just a testament to how well the Predators are playing.
And let's remind people of what you just said. Chicago was the number one seed in the West last year. They're not making the playoffs this year. I mean, that's one of the – of all of the goofy stuff, I thought Edmonton would be much better. You know, of all of the crazy stuff that's been going on, you look at Montreal and Detroit over in the East. But for Chicago – to have had this massive fall off from being the one seed last year to completely missing the playoffs, and they wouldn't miss the playoffs if it was 10 or 12 teams deep.
No, it's a surprise to, I think, just about everybody. I think people thought the Predators would be better and Winnipeg, and the Central's so strong, but I don't think anybody had the foresight to see that Chicago would be out of the playoffs at this juncture. Even though they did get swept by the Predators in the first round, I think a lot of people just saw that as the Predators playing well, and maybe not so many problems with Chicago, but they really haven't been able to put anything together all season.
Those of us that have worked around the team and have the opportunity to talk to David Poile and watched him for a number of years have great admiration for him. He's a great guy. There's no doubt about it. But it was interesting. I had Greg Wyshynski on yesterday, and the view from 10,000 feet from him saying that he thought Poile was overrated. You know, that you know David Poile's been a GM in this league for 25 years, going before the Preds, and he's never won a championship and won a lot of games and longevity and all of that kind of stuff. What's your take on Poile? I mean, is it a knock against him, the fact that his teams have never won a championship, but yet they've won a lot of hockey games over the years?
I think it's a fair criticism to some degree. You have to remember back to the early days of the Predators. He was given almost no money to sign players, and then you look at when they actually did get good. That's when Craig Leopold wanted out as owner, and ordered Poile to cut the payroll down. So you had to trade away Hartnell in his prime, Thomas Vokoun in his prime. So. He was dealt some bad hands, but I think it's a fair criticism to say a general manager who's been in this league that long has not won a Stanley Cup. But I don't think he's terrible or bad by any means. I think he's very good at his job. He's very active, trying to improve his team when he's been given the resources.
Jim Diamond with us from the Ringside Report, talking a little bit about this Nashville Predator team here. Can you give us an update on Roman Josi? Because originally I thought it was just they were, being careful with him, sore, beat up a little bit and whatnot. And now it's been like three or four games since he's played. What do we know other than, the mysterious upper body injury?
Yeah, upper body injury day to day. He skated yesterday in the morning skate, but obviously didn't go in the game. They did not practice or do anything today, so didn't have an update. So I would anticipate him, getting in either Saturday or Tuesday, if he was skating yesterday and everything's fine. I mean, as you talked about, they've opened up a pretty good cushion in the Central and the Western Conference. So if there's any lingering issues, it makes no sense to put him in a lineup. They're doing so well and have that, that built-in cushion that, you don't want to take a chance on not having Roman Josi available or at or as close to 100% as possible for the playoffs.
And that seems to be one of the hallmarks of this team, right, is the depth now. They're rotating guys in. I mean, it'll be interesting to see when you have to put together a playoff roster. But, Ryan Hartman, comes in. Mike Fisher's been, like, in and out. He's just like a designated hitter or something. The way he's in the lineup, sometimes he's in, sometimes he's not. Beteto, he's been in and out. But it just seems to be they have this lineup of guys that, okay, pick 18 each night and see what you come up with, and you can almost rotate who you're resting.
Yeah, and that's really what they've been doing. You saw Tuesday night, Turris was out of the lineup. Fiala last night was out of the lineup. With two extra forwards and two extra D, and good players, all of them, there's going to be some good names not dressed with everyone healthy. But you just have to look back to last playoff season when the Predators ran through, 18 forwards, I believe. So they had to, scrape, not just the top level of Milwaukee. They had to go down a little deeper in Milwaukee to get, get guys. So they really, I think, learned that lesson last season that they needed some extra depth up front. And, we talked about the trade with Hartman and the signing of Fisher. So that puts them in a good position. It may hurt a couple of feelings when, if everyone's healthy, somebody's going to be out of the lineup, but you'd rather have that than the opposite.
Two guys have played every game, Kelly Yarncork and P.K. Subban. Surprised that Subban doesn't get any rest. I know he wants to play all the time. He's full of energy. But could you see a scenario down the stretch where, they can maybe rest that guy a little bit? Because he's certainly, he came in last year, did a lot of things good defensively. He was overly trying to get everybody involved. And he was not the offensive presence that he had been in years past. This year now with 50 points on his team, 35 assists, 15 goals. He's scoring. His plus-minus is, plus 15. He's doing everything that you ask him. But, man, he is logging a lot of minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they gave him the option to sit out a couple of games down the stretch. But, he may be the type of player that, feels like he needs to be in those games. So, barring injury, I think if you're Peter Laviolette or the management staff, you listen to PK and listen to what, you know, what he feels he needs to do to be successful. But you're right. Their top 4D play a tremendous number of minutes. And I think any coach in hockey would play those guys that much if they had the opportunity. But, you know, maybe even just, you know, scaling back his minutes a little bit, even in games he plays, if they have the opportunity to, here over the course of the last 15 games. The third pairing, you know, even no matter who it's been, hasn't been awful. They just don't see a lot of minutes. So maybe if they, you know, give those guys a little bit more work, it'll take a little of the wear and tear off of the big four.
Yeah, for sure. Jim Diamond with us, Ringside Report, also covers the team for the AP from time to time. What's your take on Scott Hartnell? Brought him back this year. He's got 12 goals on the season. You know, he's been a tough guy for them as well. How do you feel about what he was able to bring to the table?
Yeah, I think he actually got off to a fairly slow start. You know, I know he felt like he had a lot to prove after things kind of went sideways in Columbus, but he was even a healthy scratch there, about midway through the season, and you know, came back into the lineup and scored immediately. And Peter Laviolette said, you know, you need to take a magic marker and draw a 12 or 15 foot circle around the net, and that's where they need Scott Hartnell to be and for him to be successful. And I think that, you know, he really, you know, took that to heart, and he's been very active and noticeable around the net, because as we were talking about with all the forwards, he's one of the candidates to come out of the lineup, really, you know, when they get toward the playoffs. So he's fighting for a spot on the playoff roster.
You know, in this NHL, you know, the concept of muscle isn't something that we necessarily look at as much as we used to. But if there is a guy that's that guy for this team, it's Austin Watson. I mean, he's a big, strapping guy, strong guy. He leads him with 95 penalty minutes on the season, but sneaky good with his hands. I mean, he's only got the 3 assists, but the dude's got 11 goals. He bagged one the other night, and he's just better with the stick in his hand, especially getting that garbage goal around the net, than I thought he would be.
Yeah, and several of his goals have come shorthanded as well. So he's and a very accomplished penalty killer. He blocks shots. He's the guy that's out there in the last minute of the game trying to protect the one goal lead with the opposing goalie pulled. He shows no fear. So he's been an incredible, you know, I don't want to say add, but he's elevated his game. I know when you're a first round draft pick, there's huge expectations of you that, you know, you score 30, 40 goals a year, but he's not that kind of player. But he's absolutely showing, you know, value in the role that he's placed in and the role that he's succeeding in.
What is the plan for Mike Fisher? I mean, was this just a one-off for a couple of months and into the playoffs, and they needed a forward, needed a centerman type deal, or is this something where we could see him in training camp next year as well?
Yeah, I don't think they've really made that decision. I think, you know, it may have something to do with the results they have here in the playoffs. I would think if they were fortunate enough to go on and win a Stanley Cup, that he may think he's done all he's needed to do. But I think he's going to probably listen to his body and see how things go here over the few games that he's playing and what they hope is a long playoff run. But he's, you know, what, 37, 38 years old. So he's not young by any means. So the end is near, no matter, you know, where or when he decides that it's enough. But I think a lot of it will depend on what happens in the playoffs.
Jim Diamond with us from the Ringside Report. All right, Jim, they just get better and better. Is this the year that finally they give Pekka-Rinne the Vezina? I mean, this is probably as good as it's been for him. You know, 197 minutes in a row without allowing a goal. They got him last night, but that was only, you know, over three games worth at home, not allowing a goal. He's got a 2.28 ER or GAA goals against, and you know, is this the year he finally gets to Vezina?
Yeah, it's really a two-horse race between him and Vasilevskiy from Tampa. Pekka's numbers, you know, over the streak have caught up and surpassed Vasilevskiy in some of the categories. I think they're tied in shutouts. Pekka has a marginally better save percentage, which I think a lot of people, you know, look at as kind of the hallmark for goaltenders. But you also have to, factor in the fact that the Predators play such a wide open north-south game that quite often you'll see their defensemen down close to the opposing goalie. So, there's three on twos, three on ones, two on ones coming back the other way that Rene has to deal with. And he's done very well this year, shutting all those down.
All right. Always appreciate it, Jim. Good stuff. Appreciate you, and we'll look forward to doing it again.
All right. Anytime, Tom.
All right. Thank you. Excellent work there. They're good. They're fun. They're fun to watch. T-Mac's all over. You got jersey yet, T-Mac? I know you're a big jersey guy. You got an actual jersey? You got, like, just a T-shirt? Or what do you got?
I got the Philip Forsberg T-shirt, but, man, hockey jerseys are expensive. They're a lot more expensive than basketball jerseys and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, they are. They'd have to be, like, your wife would have to get you, like, one of those for both your birthday and anniversary. Or there'd be, like, one of them combo deal type things. You'd hold back buying a house for another. Although the replicas aren't bad. You can snag a replica for a decent price.
Yeah, replicas.
All right. They're not bad. All right, let's get a break in here. When we come back, we'll keep this thing going. Josh Ward will join us, our SEC insider. We'll talk about this SEC tournament with him next. It's the Tom Abraham Show right here on 730-1039. Yep.
The Ump. WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump. From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by SunSouth John Deere, the preferred tractor equipment for Alabama athletics. Visit sunsouth.com or any of their 21 locations across the Southeast. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. The Alabama men's basketball team is in St. Louis for the SEC tournament. The title play its first game in the tournament today against Texas A&M. Tip-off is set for noon Central. Radio coverage on the network begins at 11. 15th-ranked Southern Miss came into Tuscaloosa last night with one of the top offensive teams in all of college baseball, but first-year head coach Brad Bohannon's squad held the Golden Eagles to just two hits over the course of the night. 3-0 was the shutout victory for Alabama in that one as the Tide improved to 11-2 overall, now 9-0 at home this season. I'll have more in a moment.
No one likes to hear the diagnosis of cancer, but 1 in 7 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer this year. With 13 locations, Urology Centers of Alabama is your home team for urologic health care expertise. Our urologists, medical and radiation oncologists, and pathologists work together so you can rest assured our team is your team. To learn how we're leading the fight against prostate cancer, visit ucacares.com. That's ucacares.com.
The Alabama football team hosted its pro day yesterday with 19 draft eligible players participating. The workout drew 80 scouts, general managers, and coaches representing all 32 National Football League teams. The Alabama track and field squad had 10 student athletes named all SEC, 3 named to the all freshman squad, and head coach Dan Waters was named the SEC Coach of the Year. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by SunSouth John Deere, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. grasshopper.com/radio.
If you ever want to buy a house or a car, you're going to want to know your credit score. If there's a mistake on your credit report, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com/radio. Check it whenever you like. It's free and there's no catch. Don't get an unwanted surprise about your credit score. Go to creditkarma.com/radio. That's creditkarma.com/radio.
Weather is sponsored by CC's. Now at CC's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies. On the buffet for just five and some chains for a limited time. Only at CC's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
The weather tonight, not as cold as recent nights, increasingly cloudy with a low at 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers during the day. Rain becoming widespread tomorrow night, the high 58. And for Sunday, cloudy with a chance of a few lingering rain showers, the high Sunday at 60. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
The Tom Abraham Show is back. Listen at your own risk.
Herbert Jones will walk it up and enjoy it, Bama fans. Final 12 seconds are going to tick away, and Alabama is going to beat the SEC co-champions for the second time this year, and they're going to knock them out of the SEC tournament, and we're going to enjoy tonight even more than we did last night. The Tide rolls to an 81-63 win, and oh yeah, play the song twice.
And that was Chris Stewart earlier today when Alabama beat Auburn to move on to the semifinals of the SEC tournament. It's looking more and more like they will play Kentucky. Kentucky now with a minute and a half or so to go in St. Louis with the lead on Georgia. I think it's a 9-point lead right now. I didn't see the scoreboard there on Georgia. Joining us now, Josh Ward. He is our SEC insider, does a tremendous job covering the league. Josh, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Seems like that this Alabama team playing with their, you know, their tournament lives on the line. It didn't seem to resonate when they lost five straight at the end of the season, but they sure have gotten off to a pretty exciting start in St. Louis.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, the sport, this time of year with the tournament, it's wild because if a Sexton floater doesn't go at the end of yesterday's game, well, they're one and done in the SEC tournament. And they're headed to the NIT, but it did go. And then today they did come back and they beat Auburn convincingly in the end. And all of a sudden now we're talking about Alabama definitely being in the NCAA tournament. And can it pull off an incredible run to go win the SEC tournament? Obviously that would take some work. You're right. It looks like Alabama would have to beat Kentucky to get to Sunday, but couldn't that happen? Sure. I mean, I think when Georgia winning several years ago, so unexpectedly, we've kind of loosened how tight we are and how many teams can win. And this year we've talked about a bunch of teams being capable. So in about 24 hours, we went from Alabama needing a shot to keep its season alive to now being alive on Saturday, hoping to win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, and I wasn't buying that whole BPI 99%, you know, after they beat, after they beat Texas A&M yesterday, because that was only as if the season were ending right then and there. I mean, if they had lost to Auburn, I think that BPI would have gone right back down into the 50-55% range. It was 44% before the A&M game. So, you know, all of that stuff, boy, they needed to win that one to get in. I don't know that they were in without this win here. They're in now, certainly. The question now becomes, you know, if they can beat Kentucky, you know, how high can they go? I mean, can they get back to being? I think right now they might be a 9. You wonder whether or not beating Kentucky would move them back up into that 7-8 range where, you know, some people thought they would have been before they had the losing streak at the end of the year.
Yeah, because it was a team that we talked about that could, you know, it was the team you didn't want to play. And now they've shown why we said that. It just took a while to get there. But, the conversation in just, again, 24 to 48 hours has shifted from can Alabama get into the tournament to maybe how high can it climb up? And the SEC looks like it's going to be an 8-bid league, which is really incredible for the conference. And Alabama is a team that it has enough talent. It has a star player who has been that. That's part of the story as well, is that Alabama has turned it on, and Colin Sexton has been incredible in two games with an all-time highlight included there. So you've got the storyline that goes with this team as well because of Colin Sexton the star player. Might be the I know Michael Porter Jr. is back playing, but Sexton might be the biggest star in the league right now.
He may be one of the biggest stars, you know, in the country right now, the way he's come off these last two games and being so clutch. I mean, how much money did he make in the last 24 hours? I mean, that kid there, I mean, when you look at the whole package, being a good student and a good guy and all that other kind of stuff, and, of course, he had that brush. He had that one-game suspension from having that lunch with whoever he had that lunch with and who paid for it and the runner for the agent and all that kind of stuff. So his name was implicated in that. But they obviously felt like he was, could be cleared from it because they only suspended him for one game and they moved on. But you wonder just now in the last – couple of days what that looks like to the NBA when they see a guy that performs in the biggest moments his best plays his best ball.
And I don't think they're going to care about the off court stuff at all as long as it's character or other than that checks out, and they're going to look at his ability, and his ability is obvious. He's got the size and strength and the athleticism, and they'll look at the fact that it's tournament time. His team needed somebody to be great, and he was just that. And, you know, he's not been 100% healthy all season, so he's dealt with some issues. He's fought through it. And his talent is just obvious. And we could see that last year when he was getting ready to arrive at Alabama, what he was able to do in the dunk contest. I mean, he's an elite talent. And in a league that's loaded with, you know, good teams, the SEC is legitimately deep. It struggled to produce star players or guys that would stand out nationally. Sexton was the name. He was the guy that was coming out of the SEC with player of the year, at least nomination or conversation. I mean, he's not going to win it, but he's the one that stands out. And we're not going to get to the NCAA tournament. I'm going to talk about Alabama making a run at the Final Four realistically, but they do become an intriguing team. And Colin Sexton makes Alabama a really interesting watch because you want to see him play, and NBA fans will look at the NCAA tournament. There are a lot of NBA fans that say, let me know when the tournament starts and I'll watch. And then they'll say, okay, who are some of the players I should look at? And Sexton will be one of the first names mentioned.
Well, the other part of it, too, with them is that he's the only one that's going to go out. And you look at the rest of that squad and how young they are. You just wonder, you know, what the ceiling is could be for them next year because, I mean, John Petty will be back. I mean, you know, a bunch of those guys are back. There are three or four other freshmen that are playing, not to mention whoever they bring in with this next class. But, you know, that's the other end of it is that, you know, we talk about it like this is just a one-off deal, but that's going to be a good bunch of sophomores next year.
Well, and Alabama's basketball program needed to experience some kind of success. With Anthony Grant, it wasn't that they were in really bad shape. They just never could get to the level that he was hired to take them to when he arrived at Alabama from VCU. So for Alabama, it's going to be the first NCAA tournament bid in 6 years, and they really didn't even have any success there. They showed up, and then it was time to go. So for Alabama to get a little run in the SEC tournament, make it to the NCAA tournament. If they can win a game or two there, that's good for the program. That's something to build on heading into next season for the guys that are coming back. You're right. They're going to lose Colin Sexton, but Avery Johnson's trying to build something there, and there really hasn't been much to build on, and now they might have something finally.
Yeah. Josh Ward with us, SEC Insider. All right. Kentucky gets this win against Georgia. Well, first, before we get off of the Auburn-Alabama game, is Auburn still the 3 seed? I mean, does this have to hurt them? I know the guy who was doing the game today said, you know, he thinks it drops them a line to the 4 line, which we remember just 3 weeks ago they were a 1 seed. But do you think they stay on the 3 line even though they lose 4 of the last 6 coming in?
I think Auburn's the team we're paying attention to, and you'll, of course, watch and see what happens with the teams that are around them in that discussion. But think about the teams that have been in that 2 or 3 seed conversation and then some of the 4s. You know, Gonzaga's a team, for example, that's been trying to climb up. Well, it didn't win its conference tournament, so it looks good at the end. Tennessee's a team in the SEC tournament that still has a game to go. So if you're Auburn, you'd like Tennessee to get knocked out early because it can further cement its resume. Michigan won the Big Ten tournament. I mean, obviously Auburn's not going to move up, but West Virginia with the win last night. So that's a team that's trying to climb. What if it's able to have some success in the Big 12 tournament? So if you ask me right now, I would say, yeah, I would think they're probably still a three, but that's right now. There's more basketball for other teams to go, and Auburn's done. And Auburn looked really bad in the second half of that game as well. And you have the off-court stuff. It's not been a great storyline for Auburn with what's going on with the program. So I would be a little concerned if I'm Auburn. Right now, I'd say three seed. Ask me again tomorrow, and I might have a different answer.
I would have thought, I did think that Kentucky was still the team to beat going into this tournament because, I mean, they were going for their fourth. You know, this is where they live. You know, the Blue Mist lives in the SEC tournament. But having said that, then they got hammered by Florida. So now I'm really worried about, you know, Florida. I look at Florida and how good that they can be. But, you know, right now, we haven't seen Florida and Tennessee play yet. Tennessee's coming up at 6 o'clock Central tonight against Mississippi State, and then Arkansas and Florida will go. But right now, does Kentucky look like all that again? You get Kentucky and Alabama tomorrow morning, well, tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, I think so. You can still have Kentucky look as good as it did in that four-game winning streak and then that Florida game. So every game is going to be different, I think, with most of these teams in Kentucky, especially with that youth. But I picked Kentucky to win the SEC tournament. I had Kentucky beating Tennessee on Sunday. We'll see if that's how it plays out. And Alabama's going to feel very confident against Kentucky. Now it's going to be the third game for Alabama. Can they really keep it going? But Kentucky really kind of controlled the second half of that game once they pulled away there late in the first half. Kentucky is still the team that I think most people will point to and say they have the roster. How, you know, can they get consistent play from Kevin Knox? Can he hit shots? Can Gilgeous Alexander make the plays he's capable of? When that happens, Kentucky can be a really good team and a really difficult team to beat. So I thought Kentucky would win the tournament going in, and based on how they played against Georgia and the road to the finals, probably easier than I would have said. Not that Alabama is an easy out, but Georgia and Alabama may be a little bit more winnable or more comfortable path than we would have thought going into the tournament. So Kentucky, as much as they were challenged there when they were 6-7 in SEC play and people were asking if they would be an NCAA tournament team, which I thought was premature, Kentucky still has a chance to make it a successful run in the postseason despite some disappointing times in the regular season.
Tennessee came into this week as a three seed by most people's accounts. Of course, they'll get Mississippi State, as I said, tonight. How deep do they have to go to keep that secure? If they're playing on Sunday, are they a three? Are they a two if they win this tournament? Can they get any higher? Is the three the ceiling that they're trying to protect?
Well, I think a three is what Tennessee is trying to protect. And winning it could maybe move Tennessee up to a two if you have a regular season shared title and then a tournament championship. And part of it is trying to climb is a little difficult because these other teams keep winning. Now, Purdue's done, and Purdue's been in the mix. Michigan State's done because the Big Ten tournament's over. You have Duke, North Carolina, so obviously both can't advance, but I don't think you're topping one of those. Cincinnati, earlier today, that would have been helpful if the Bearcats had been knocked off, but they were able to take care of business in the final 10 minutes and beat SMU. My guess is that Tennessee's a three seed, but I think winning tonight locks it up for Tennessee as a three, especially with Auburn losing. So I think Tennessee is trying to play for a two, but it's going to need a little help. I think if Tennessee takes care of business against Mississippi State, the Vols lock up a three seed comfortably.
I've been saying it for 2 weeks. The scariest team right now in the league to me is Arkansas. I mean, they continue to play that way. I just think that they're scary, but I do think that Florida started playing in the last 2 weeks of the season. They started playing like what we thought they were at the beginning of the year when they were a highly ranked team. Arkansas, Florida, that ought to be a good one. And Arkansas, to me, is dangerous. I mean, if they get by Florida, I think they can give Tennessee all that they want.
Yeah, no doubt. Arkansas beat Tennessee earlier this year. It was the opening weekend, and it was kind of a wild one. Ended up going to overtime, but Arkansas has players. They've got a lot of talent there, and Florida's favorite going into that game. To me, it's more of a toss-up. I know that Florida's the higher seed, but I like Arkansas, and when everything's on, and you could say this about both teams in this matchup, Florida and Arkansas, because with Chioza running the point for the Gators, if they hit shots from the outside, they're really tough to beat as well. But, yeah, Arkansas has players, and they can make it really challenging for the opposing team and put pressure on you to score. So this is a matchup, Arkansas and Florida. It goes back to what I said earlier about we talked about a number of teams could win the SEC tournament. It wouldn't be stunning at all if either of these teams won. Florida is one of the favorites to do so. But if Arkansas gets by Florida, well, then why couldn't it beat Tennessee tomorrow if that's who Arkansas plays? They've already beaten them earlier this year. And then if you're playing on Sunday for the SEC tournament, you're saying Arkansas couldn't beat Kentucky or beat Alabama? Of course it could. So that's why, I mean, really everybody that's remaining or probably will be tomorrow, we're saying any of these four teams can win it, and we wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't think Mississippi State's going to win it, but win the tournament. But Tennessee could, Arkansas, Florida could. Obviously, Kentucky and Alabama have moved on to tomorrow. So it's wide open for the league, just like it has been for the regular season. I think the tournament has reflected what we saw during the season. All the games were so close on Friday, and then you have a first half that goes Auburn's way, a second half that very much goes Alabama's way. A lot of what we've seen yesterday, Missouri knocking off or being knocked off by Georgia, so many outcomes that really aren't that surprising because we've seen so much back and forth in the league all season long.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how quick the turnaround, too, in the league. We thought it would happen. I mean, and here is the proof in the pudding. Hire the coaches, spend the money, the facilities, hire the coaches, and, as long as the recruiting is clean and you don't have a bunch of issues with that, you know, you don't want to get caught up in all of that stuff. Obviously, it's out there right now. But, boy, it's amazing how quickly that this league went from a, you know, three, maybe four-team league to, you know, eight. 75% of the league is in the tournament, and if somebody wildcarded won the tournament, it could almost have been nine.
Yeah, it's like a snap of a finger, and it really goes back to the investment the league made in hiring coaches, good coaches, and they've quickly turned things around. And by hiring good coaches, a lot of guys that have been experienced in college basketball, you have Rick Barnes at Tennessee and Bruce Pearl at Auburn. Well, they have their teams at the top of the SEC. Well, look at where those programs were just two or three years ago. Look at the situations those two coaches inherited. They were a mess, but those are coaches that know how to schedule. They have some credibility that can maybe get some players there, and then they can just coach. But even a school like Mississippi State, which probably is going to be in the NCAA tournament, you have a coach like Ben Hallen that can help boost up the conference a little bit. South Carolina is down this year, but you have Frank Martin there, and they went to the Final Four last year. I can keep going down the list. But I mean, think about SEC football and SEC basketball. The basketball side has a much deeper list of coaches that have proven that they are high-level coaches. Now, you might have a just deeper list around the country in college basketball compared to football with how expectations can work, but it's a football league. It's much more impressive on the basketball side with the coaches as it stands today.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I mean, let's see what Jeremy Pruitt does. Is he Kirby Smart or is he Will Muschamp at Florida? You know, we're going to find out, I guess, about that. And then bringing Jimbo Fisher in kind of changes the complexion of the West a little bit. And Dan Mullen going to Florida, where he has a lot more stuff to work with than he did at Mississippi State. I think it diminishes Mississippi State, but it increases Florida stock possibly. It's interesting. I think the wild card there will be Jimbo Fisher. You know, what happens there is Jimbo and is Ed Orgeron in over his head or not, you know, that type of thing. Because then it becomes a four-team SEC West, you know, with Auburn, Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M. I mean, that's going to be the big thing. So what Jimbo does over there and then what does Jeremy Pruitt do in the East?
Yeah, and things could change, sure. I like Dan Mullen at Florida, of course. And now he has a chance to prove that he can win championships because it was going to be unrealistic in Mississippi State. Jimbo Fisher has proven that he can win a championship. He has a national title from 4-plus years ago. But now he needs to show that he can do it in the SEC and that he can get A&M to where they're paying him to go. And the potential for coaches, Jeremy Pruitt and Moorhead coming in at Mississippi State, he's a very well-thought-of offensive coach, and he'll have a chance to do good things for Mississippi State. Chad Morris is very well-thought-of, but he still has a lot to prove at Arkansas. And then, you know, what can Ole Miss be realistically in the near future with Matt Luke there? I think that's a fine decision to promote him. It's just that I think they're kind of capped with what they're going to be right now. The SEC is not bad on the football side in terms of the coaches. It's just that you have a lot of guys that have a lot to prove still. Will Muschamp's doing a nice job there at South Carolina, but again, can he win a championship? It's clearly to me Saban and Kirby leading the way in the SEC, and then some of those other guys, especially the way they're being paid. Gus Malzahn on at Auburn, can he get them back to an SEC title? That's what all these coaches are trying to prove.
We did a caption contest of the picture of Butch Jones in Alabama gear standing next to Bill Belichick. We almost broke the internet. It was just so surreal. I didn't know which was weirder, seeing Butch in his Alabama gear and then having Nick Saban say, well, we don't know where we're at yet on that. You know, we got to clear some hurdles. I'm like, what did Butch do? Stop at Bama Fever on the way down and just buy something? You know, does Nick know he's there? You know, that kind of thing. And then seeing Rich Rod there was also surreal because, you know, if Rich Rodriguez takes that job in 2006, maybe Nick Saban ends up at Michigan, right? I mean, and maybe he's terrorizing the Big Ten. And if he's at Michigan, maybe Urban Meyer never leaves Florida. You know what I mean? You start to think about all of these dominoes that fell when Rich Rodriguez got on that plane and left Tuscaloosa without a deal 10 years ago, 11 years ago. And how different the world of college football and specifically the SEC might have been had Rich Rod taken that job, because Nick was getting out of Miami. He was going to get out. He was going somewhere. He's from West Virginia. He wasn't going to take the West Virginia job. But when Michigan started looking the next year, I'm thinking Nick Saban might have been a head coach at Michigan. He might have four national championships coming out of the Big Ten.
Yeah, Rich Rodriguez not ending up at Alabama is one of the biggest seesaw moments in college football history. I mean, there are a number of moments that or decisions that led to that, but that's obviously a big one. And he doesn't have the success Saban has had. What does Saban do? Does he stick it out in Miami for another year? Does he, if not, and I'm guessing at some point he leaves, what college program does he end up at coaching? And that program would have had a ton of success. Yeah, it's wild. You know, with Butch Jones, you know, he was spotted at a Bama team store or school store. So he could have bought something. I'm guessing he got it for free, but there was a photo that popped up on social media earlier this week of Butch Jones down there in Alabama at a team store. The whole thing's wild, but that's where a lot of coaches seem to go to try to revive their career. Mario Cristobal is the head coach at Oregon right now, so going there has helped him. It's a lesser role for Butch Jones, but I think this is a better path for him than sitting at home in Knoxville doing nothing. And for Alabama, as bad as this past year was for Butch Jones, he's had success as a head coach. He's another resource to throw into the football department. So I think it works out for both sides to have them working together. And then Butch Jones, I'm sure next year, will try to find a bigger position somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least Cristobal, I think, went right into a coaching position, not an analyst position. But, you right. know, and that's the dirty little secret. Those analyst jobs are – you know, because some people ask, well, why? How come Alabama has all of these guys? Everybody has them. I mean, they're $35,000 a year jobs. They're generally reserved. It's usually the next step from being a GA. You usually go from a GA to being an analyst. And then from being an analyst, you know, when an on-field job opens up where there's some real money, you become that. It's a $35,000 deal, a year deal. But when you've got Tennessee, in this case, paying Butch millions to not coach, you know, yeah, 35 grand, that's fine. The same thing with Lane Kiffin, you know, when he first came over. You know, you got somebody else is paying all of these coaches that come in. They can put them on the analyst list for 35 grand like they did with Sarkisian. And, you know, it's kind of a joke. You know, guy's making $2 million from USC, and he's making $35,000 as an analyst.
Yeah, it's taking advantage of it. The position's supposed to be something to help a coach climb up in the job profession. And really it's being used in this particular case as a way to get a coach into the spot so that someday he can go back and coach. But in the meantime, Tennessee is paying Butch Jones to work at Alabama. I had several Tennessee fans ask this week, how much money will this save us on the buyout? Basically nothing. Tennessee is paying Butch Jones to work at Alabama is how it's going to work out. They can, I guess, get some back. That's the way it's worded in the contract. But as you mentioned, you're talking about 35 grand in that range. Well, when you owe him $8 million, getting $35,000 back doesn't really do anything. It's if anything, it's even more insulting to you and a reminder of how much money you owe him, because he can go down there and help Alabama. And he's going to help Alabama. And in the meantime, he's going to get even richer thanks to Tennessee.
Always a pleasure, man. I appreciate you so much. Josh Ward has been our guest, Josh, and we'll talk sometime next week. I don't know. Everything gets crazy with that first week of the tournament, so we may end up on a skip next week. We'll just see how that all works out, but I look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Yeah, it's a fun time, though, so it sounds good. I look forward to talking to you next time.
All right, thank you. With T-Max says we got Josh scheduled.
Yeah,
we got him scheduled. What day did you schedule him?
Tuesday.
We got like we got 5 days worth of sports talk radio locked into 3 days.
Oh yeah,
two and a half days probably.
We need Gribbs. Gribbs is the only one we need to confirm. Once we confirm him, we are packed all week.
And I think both Tuesday and Wednesday we're out at 5:30 for first four action. And then, of course, Thursday and Friday, it's Gonzo, which worked out all right anyway because I have to go work the Bassmaster Classic in my other job as the host of Bassmaster Radio. I'll be working the Bassmaster Classic and working on Bassmaster Live and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of worked out conveniently on that deal. But anyway, it's gonna be a really interesting week next week, that's for sure. All right, when we come back, phone lines go back open. You want to get into this Friday trifecta? You can. We only got about less than a half hour to go, so jump in if you will, right there at 7:30,
1039 AM. WUMP Sports Radio, The Op. Big weekend event, The Gun Show, this Saturday and Sunday at the National Guard Armory in Fayetteville. Thousands of guns and knives, ammo, holsters, camo, optics, shooting and hunting supplies, and more. 1805 Wilson Parkway, Saturday from 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 3. The Gun Show, big weekend event, buy, sell, trade at the National Guard Armory in Fayetteville, Tennessee. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, The Gun Show at the National Guard Armory in Fayetteville.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text LIKE to 797979.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Scientists tell us that Earth is overdue for a huge solar flare. Bad news, it'll probably fry our electronics and technology. Good news, we'll all get a spectacular tan. Well, a good place to hunker down for the looming sunpocalypse is Motel 6. You'll get a great low rate on a great room under a roof and save more for other stuff, like sunscreen or a nice big hat. Well, I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. Or maybe not.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
And had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
If you think trains will stop if they see a car on the tracks, you're right, they will. About a mile after they hit you. In 2015 alone, 230 people were killed at railroad crossings. Don't become the next fatality. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Getting tired of your lunch options?
Change it up with Little Caesars Hot and Ready Lunch Combo.
Wowee, the winds of change.
Get four slices of pepperoni deep, deep dish pizza, plus a 20-ounce drink, now for only $4. Goodbye.
Where are you going?
Little Caesars, obviously.
Get the Little Caesars Lunch Combo, now just $4, hot and ready 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays. Available at participating locations for a limited time plus tax.
Weather is sponsored by CC's. Now at CC's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies. On the buffet for just $5 and some chains for a limited time. Only at CC's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
The weather tonight, not as cold as recent nights, increasingly cloudy with a low at 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers during the day. Rain becoming widespread tomorrow night, the high 58. And for Sunday, cloudy with a chance of a few lingering rain showers, the high Sunday at 60. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Thanks.
T-Mac, just getting a little of that Red Diamond coffee here at Baumhauer's, doing a show live from Baumhauer's. And I really want to thank those guys before I forget and we get out. Coming up, we got one segment scheduled at the top of the hour, but I do want to thank these guys here at Baumhauer's. They're so great for me. Every time I got to come down here to Hoover to do a hockey game, they accommodate the show, and I really appreciate what they do for us. And they got a beautiful set here as well. There's a new Baumhauer's coming, Victory Grill, Baumhauer's Victory Grill coming to Huntsville as well, and they'll have a nice radio set up as well. So it's when you do the show at one of the Victory Grill setups, it's always very, very pleasant. It's very radio friendly, and I look forward to getting back out and doing a lot of remotes and doing that kind of stuff for sure. Let's get an update with T-Mac. It's a Doghouse Sports Report.
That's right, Big Dog. We have some final scores here as you're drumming along. Alabama continued their SEC tournament success by beating their Auburn, the co-SEC champion.
Next.
Yeah, 81-63 there. Alabama takes the better half of that rubber match, beating Auburn 2 out of 3 times this year, outscoring the Tigers 50-22 in the second half. Colin Sexton with 31. They advanced to the semifinals for the second consecutive year, and they will meet Kentucky, who they met again last year, as Kentucky knocks off Georgia 62-49 to advance to the semifinals. So it'll be Alabama, Kentucky yet again. The Nashville Predators got their 10th consecutive win last night over the Ducks 3-2. They'll try and continue that franchise record streak tomorrow at 7 against the New Jersey Devils. That will be at Bridgestone Arena, so stay tuned to that. The Preds remain one point back of the Tampa Bay Lightning for the lead in the entire NHL. Your Cleveland Browns, they acquired today Jarvis Landry from the Dolphins. They cost them a 2018 and 2019 draft pick. And the Tampa Bay Bucks solidified Mike Evans, wide receiver, will be there for quite a while as they agreed to a 5-year, $82 million deal to keep him in Tampa Bay. I'm Tony Mack. That is your Doghouse Sports Report.
And T-Mac, the haters have made it out on the on the Twitter window, top of the hour text and tweets. The question I threw out there on Twitter: how much money has Colin Sexton made in the last 24 hours? Stepien, I know who this guy is too. He's a listener from Nashville, actually. But he said in reply to that, second round pick, best case. What are you talking about? What do you mean second round pick, best case? I mean, I haven't heard anyone not say that he's not a lottery pick. Have you heard anyone that not say that Colin Sexton's not a lottery pick?
He was a first round projection in the middle of their 5-game skid. I don't get how this apparently all of a sudden hurt his stock. Well,
he was a first round projection in high school.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, if he had come out in high school, he would have been a first round projection. He's a lottery pick.
Yeah,
is
for sure.
What he is. I mean, that's why he's gonna go out. To the question of, here's another one. Andrew asks. He said, once the FBI is done, will Bama have to vacate this win, or since Auburn is paying as well, is that offsetting penalties? I don't. There hasn't been any indication that there was nothing that came out in that FBI investigation that wasn't already on the table with Bama. We know that Colin Sexton had lunch or dinner, he and his family, with a runner for an agency in Atlanta. We know that. We don't even know who paid for it. I mean, even if the assumption is that the agent runner paid for the meal. But they suspended him for a game. Do you really think they played this kid the entire season without really knowing what they were up against? And as far as Auburn goes, Auburn, you know, they took their guys and they suspended him basically for the year. And what was going on with Chuck Person is over here. I don't think there's more coming down unless somebody other than Chuck Person was pulling the strings on that deal. Unless somebody can prove that Bruce Pearl knew what Chuck Person was doing, taking money from a financial advisor to steer players to a particular financial advisor. I don't know that Auburn has got any more coming down. I don't know. All right, final segment next right here on
730 and 103.9. The Ump. More sports.
Hey, gang. Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter. I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel, offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing. Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training, great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel on Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road. And online at bulletandbarrel.com. Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
When your small business is growing, you get familiar with the phrase, that's a good problem to have. Good problem one, you're too busy to answer the phone. Solution, Ooma Office. Its virtual receptionist directs calls to the right extension. Number two, new business is keeping you from the office. Solution, an Ooma mobile app that helps you take calls from anywhere. And three, it starts at just $19.95 a month. Well, no problem there. Just good. Visit Ooma.com. That's O-O-M-A. Or call 866-840-8792 to find out more.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text L-I-K-E to 797979.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it.
To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility On Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-890-6-
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Op.